الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. درشي بلل ونا. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, continuing with the seerah of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala an. Hadrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, when he became the Khalifa, he found himself to be in a very difficult situation. And obviously, this difficulty was related to the shahadat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an was a noble senior sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man who was beloved to all of the companions and especially the people of Madinatul Munawwara, and a man who was blessed with the title of being Zunnurain, the son-in-law of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for him to be murdered cold-bloodedly in the sanctuary in Madinatul Munawwara, obviously this was a very difficult moment for the companions. And straight away, immediately, for Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an to become a Khalifa. So it was a difficult moment for Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. What we need to understand is Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an was not a man who was waiting or craving to be a Khalifa or to acquire this label of Amirul Mu'mineen, to be the leader for the Muslims. But this was something that was not enforced, but perhaps there was no choice given to him. After Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an, there was no one else there more worthy than Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an to be the Khalifa. And therefore, when a lot of pressure came to him from the companions that were in Madinatul Munawwara, and they said to him that, "You have no choice. The wise decision that you can do is to become the Khalifa for the Muslimin in order to save the Ummah." We also need to understand that in Medina at that time, you still had a lot of the rebels and the thugs that came from Egypt, Kufa and Basra were still there in Medina Munawwara. So things were very difficult. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an then became the Khalifa. Now before we elaborate upon the events that occurred immediately when Khilafat was given to Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, just to quickly summarize the shahadat of Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an, so that we have the mind is refreshed and that we understand who the real instigators were, which continued even after the shahadat of Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. We need to understand that the main culprit, the people behind this disunity, this was something that was well staged. and a man was selected of Jewish origin. He was a Jewish man and his name was Sabah, Abdullah ibn Sabah. Very carefully this entire movement to be was orchestrated so that slowly Muslims become divided. And so Abdullah ibn Sabah, a man who was a politician, very malicious, very powerful, and he had the backing of the Jewish community, extremely rich. He came in Arabia and pretended to be a sincere revert to Islam, fluent Arabic, and he would put on clothes that would resemble the companions, a very pious man to be, and at the same time also he was a rich man. And so the first thing what he did is that he went out to the poor locality and gave them hadiyah, giving them a lot of charity, showing people that he's a very generous man. And in a way he was actually buying out the Bedouins that were there. So he won the hearts of the Bedouins that were there. These were people who were not learned people. And so once the Bedouin were there, slowly, and this man was full of innovations. And slowly what would happen is that within Madinatul Munawwara you had a lot of the companions and they knew who Abdullah ibn Sabah was. But because he would profess La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, therefore it would not befit any Muslim, a believer, to accuse him of anything else. And so what would happen is that he would speak to the people, but slowly the companions realized that this man is a man of fitna. And we've actually covered this in the seerah of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. He was pushed further away from Madinatul Munawwara and his base was in Egypt. He found a niche with the people of Egypt. Refuge was given to him. Now, by the time Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an became Khalifa, you had a wave of a new community of reverts that were becoming Muslims. And he pretended to be a great scholar amongst them. So he became their ustaz. He would teach them Arabic. He would teach them how to recite the Quran. He was a powerful man, a very rich man. He would pay them to study. And slowly what he would do is that he would translate the verses of the Quran, but would give them the complete wrong commentary of the Quran, of the verses. So in Egypt you did not have many scholars. You had now, by the time Hazrat Uthman became a Khalifa, many of the Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in had passed away. And so you had a lot of the companions that were either in Jihad or either in Madinatul Munawwara. So in Egypt you had a few, maybe the governors that were selected by the previous Khulafa-i Rashidin. So people were there. But this man had a lot of support. And he started giving his dars and he started saying to the people, what he wanted to do was to put confusion in the minds of people. And confusion means shak. Now there is no cure for shak. That is why in the hadith Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-shakki wal kufri. So the first symptoms are shak. Then after shak, it becomes kufr. After shak, it becomes kufr. So you have to stop shak. In Islam, there is no shak. In Islam, there is no confusion. There is no doubt. La rayba fihi. There is no doubt in Islam. And so he would speak to the people in a very different tone. And he would say to the people in his dars, that can you imagine, Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, Jesus, he is inferior in status than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Isa alayhi salatu wassalam has not died, he hasn't passed away, and he will return back and he will come back to be the ummati of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He's not dead. That is the aqeedah of the Muslims. But how is it possible that Isa alayhi salatu wassalam can return back whilst Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is Sayyidul Awwaleen wal Akhirin, the leader of all the prophets, he has passed away? Does that make sense? This is how he would speak. And so he would want to create shukuk, doubt, in the hearts and the minds of people, that this is not possible. for sure Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam will come back again, just like how Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is to return. And so he will also come back. And so these were some of the innovations, and this is how he would mislead people, aliyazu billah, against the sunnah and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And for an example, he would read in front of them the verse of Suratul Qasas, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادِ. In Suratul Qasas, Allah says that verily that Allah who has imposed or who has revealed upon you the Qur'an, the Kalam of Allah, for sure Allah will return you back at home, O Muhammad. For sure Allah will return you back at home, إِلَى مَعَادِ. So he would read the ayat of Surah Qasas and he say, you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he will return Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back at home. And obviously this ayat kareema was speaking about the hijrah, the migration of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving satisfaction to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that although the community is in Medina Munawwara, but Allah will surely return you back to Makkah. And so he would say, you see, Allah's Nabi would come again, the second return of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is how he would speak. And these were reverts. You know, Muslim, simple-minded people, and they would accept him, and he had a large following. This is what he wanted. He wanted a group of people to follow him. And he would say to the people, isn't it shocking that 1,000 prophets came in this dunya, and all of them rightfully had appointed their heirs and successors, someone who succeeded them. But shockingly, the greatest Nabi, who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there is no one there to succeed him. And so he would say to them, let me tell you who is there to succeed him, is the one who is closely related to him, who is Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala. And now the opportunity was right. Obviously Hazrat Uthman's rank was not like Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala. No one could ever dispute the status of Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar. These were giants. But now with Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and being the Khalifa, and towards the last years of his Khilafat, he started his movement slowly to break the unity amongst the Muslims. And he said, you see, we have to make sure that we take power from the people of Medina and reinstate Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And he would say, Al-Iyazu Billah, we Muslims are gunehgar. We are sinful people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish us. And they would say, why will Allah punish us? And he would say, because Allah has said, Kuntum khayra ummatin. You are the best ummah. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhriyat linnas. And Allah has taken you out for people. What is your duty? Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf. Wa tanhawna anil munkar. Your duty is to do amar bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar. Invite people to that which is good and to stop people from something that is wrong, unlawful, evil. So amar bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar. And as Muslims, it is our duty. We are seeing in front of us that Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an has usurped the line of khilafat, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an has been deprived. So Allah will punish us. We have to wage jihad and war against the people of Medina, and Allah will reward us. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Imagine fighting the Khalifa, fighting the son-in-law, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, playing with the words of the Quran, and Allahu Akbar, spicing things up in Egypt and in Kufa, and he had other agents that were there working for him, his ambassadors, and slowly this man managed to stir up a massive movement, a lot of people, and majority of them were people who had never seen the companions, who had never sat in the company of a Sahabi. And these were new people to Islam, and their leader was this man who pretended to be a very pious man with an amama, massive pagri and clothes of pious people that was there, and he would speak fluent Arabic, and he says, we have a noble duty and Allah will reward us. No one has the right understanding of Islam. We should do jihad and remove Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an from his position. And slowly he started stirring up things, and he started writing letters to the people that were there, and he gave this picture pretending that there was a rift between Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Uthman, that the two companions did not get on well together at all. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an is the successor of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we must come immediately to support Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. At the same time, what he would do also is that he would say that all the governors that are there, they have been selected by Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, therefore it is haram for you to obey the governors. And he issued that fatwa, because selected by Hazrat Uthman, and therefore it is haram for you to be obedient to the governors. And so this movement, a revolt against the entire system, the entire khilafats, starting from Egypt, Kufa, Basra, and this movement slowly going, reaching as far as Madinatul Munawwara. Now Sahaba Ikram Ajma'in could not even imagine. It was, they could not even think of something like this to happen. And you had an army that came to Madinatul Munawwara, Aliyazu Billah, disrespecting the Haram, Madinatul Munawwara. And eventually what they did is that they even assassinated and murdered Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. And we've covered that, alhamdulillah, in the seerah of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. But again, just to mention the name, that this sect is the Saba'i sect. This sect is the Saba'i sect. And you'll find a lot of people, historians at times, don't even mention Abdullah ibn Sabah. And they don't mention Abdullah ibn Sabah, why? So that, al-iyazu billah, directly the blame could be put upon the shoulders of the companions. And so you have different kinds of people in this world today, aliyazu billah. We need to understand that this movement was created by this man whose name was Abdullah ibn Sabah. And this man Sabah, Abdullah ibn Sabah, was the main man, and a group of them entered the house of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, and he was made shaheed. Now, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an became the Khalifa. We need to understand that there was no dispute, no disagreement as far as the Khilafat is concerned. No one disagreed. In fact, everyone agreed unanimously that the Khalifa should only be Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Even Hazrat Zubair, Hazrat Talha, every Sahabi said Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an is the Sahabi. But the difference of opinion was in the juristic ruling in Sharia, and which was directly related to the Janazah and the Shahadat of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. So you had three groups at that time in Madinatul Munawwara, or three groups of the Muslim community at that time. No one disputed that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala should not be a Khalifa. Everyone agreed, he is the Khalifa. But the difference of opinion was in Qisas, the Had punishment. The Had punishment. A group were with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Now we need to be careful here. The fact of the matter is that the correct decision is of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was of the right opinion. But this again is fatawa, and one sahabi had a different opinion and another sahabi had a different opinion. They did not go against Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. The first group was the group of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Things were very difficult for Hazrat Ali. He had to become the Khalifa. Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in were with him. But at the same time, unfortunately, you also had the rebels that were there. The thugs that came from Egypt, Kufa and Basra were also now integrated in the system, in the army, with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, or group of people that were there. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was of the opinion that at this minute, to take qisas, retribution, of those who murdered Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, is perhaps not a very wise decision to carry out, because you have the rebels that were living in Madinah Munawwara, and it's very, very difficult. So in due course, in time, we will make sure that justice is given to the family of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, but not just yet. And so this was the first group. Hazrat Ali, and with him also there were a few companions. Now the second group of people were also Sahaba-i Kiram Ajmain, a few companions. Now in the second group you had powerful individuals also. And one of them was a female, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. She was a lady who had a lot of power. Now we need to understand that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is from Azwaj Mutahharat and the wife of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She would give fatwa whilst her father, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was still alive. So she was a very powerful lady. As Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anha, they were of the opinion that no, there is no dispute about the Khilafat of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha, but we will not tolerate this. We want to make sure that immediately Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anha's family is given the right of retribution, qisas, the had punishment has to be implemented immediately. And then you had the third group of people. Again, you had a few companions in the third category. They were neutral. And they said, no, we don't want to side with the first group, and we don't want to side with the second group. Everyone has got their own opinion, and these were scholars amongst the group of companions. All of them were scholars. And so they said, no, we will not side with anyone, and what we will do is we will just move away. And so, despite the fact that he was a Khalifa, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, they came and they gave their reasons as to why they did not want to participate with any of the groups, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an accepted this. Now, just to give you an understanding of what had happened, when Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an was made shaheed, many of the Azwaj-e-Mutahharat had gone to Makkah Mukarramah to perform Hajj. And this would also include Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was also in Makkah Mukarramah. To avoid the turmoil and fitna which was happening in Madinatul Munawwara, they could not take this. That people from Kufa and Basra, people who did not understand the status of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the mockery that they were doing there. So she went along with the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Makkah, and they performed Hajj. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an stayed in Makkah for a few months. She wanted to go, and then she returned back to Makkah. She wanted to go Medina, but she returned back to Makkah, and she was waiting to see what was happening in Madinatul Munawwara. Now while she was in Makkah, in Rabi'ul Thani, 4 months after the Shahadat of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala an, and Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an left Medina Munawwara and they came to Makkah. And they met with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And when they met Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Talha and Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an said to Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now, the companions were, in a way, they felt that they were partly to blame for the shahadat of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. There was a lot of psychological pressure upon the companions. They were not thinking that Hazrat Uthman would be murdered in Medina Munawwara in this manner, to be completely helpless. This was a difficult moment. But obviously, Sahaba could not do anything because Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an prevented all the companions from participating in any kind of jihad in Medina Munawwara. And he said to the companions, that I would rather give my own life than to spill blood in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this I will not tolerate. And so whenever the companions would come, he would say, go back. And so this was the difficulty, because he was the Khalifa and they had to listen to the Khalifa, which was farz for the ummah to listen. And therefore Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an was made shaheed. So they would even feel a bit guilty, and partly they would say that we are to blame. So Hazrat Talha and Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala and said to Hazrat Aisha that perhaps to compensate a bit, what we want is to make sure that the murderers are given the right punishment, that they should also be executed. Now Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was a man of great knowledge, subhanAllah. He stayed in the company of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he knew the Masail, being a Khalifa. Remember, he was a senior advisor to Hazrat Uthman, to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an also. And so, he understood the Masail. If this was a straightforward case, where one man has killed another man. So for an example, if Zayd had killed Bakr, if Zayd had killed Bakr, and there is witnesses and there is proof, there is proof there that Zayd had killed Bakr, then obviously qisas is easy. What would happen is that Bakr would also be executed. If the family would not want blood money, he would be executed. But in a case where an entire group of people have entered a room and they have attacked one individual, who is to be blamed? Who from amongst the group of people can be classified as the murderer of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala? And this is a difficult situation. So according to the fiqhi masail, it's very difficult for a man to implement the laws of qisas, the laws of equality. Qisas means equality, laws of equality. It's very, very difficult. So Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, understood the masail. But that was his fatwa, and the fatwas of Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Talha were quite different. And they said, no, we know exactly who the perpetrators are, and this entire group should be executed. So this was their opinion. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, if we don't catch the perpetrators now, what will happen? Any man who becomes the Khalifa, it will become a joke, it will become a game for them. Okay, we don't like this Khalifa, eventually a group of people will come, and aliyazu billah, they will make the leader a shaheed in Madinah Munawwara. So this will be the standard for the people, and we don't want this. And so Hazrat Talha, Hazrat Zubair, and Hazrat Aisha, the backing of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an was fundamental. They would want Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha also. They knew that wherever Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would go, she would have the full backing of the people there. She was a powerful lady, being the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When she heard of Hazrat Talha and Zubair, Hazrat Aisha stood up, and this is all in hijab of course, and she said, Wallahi, by Allah, I will make sure also that we seek vengeance for the blood of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And she took a qasam also, and she was clear in her matter, and she said Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was murdered unlawfully, and therefore the qisas is right and a haq upon the Muslimin. And so here Hazrat Talha, Hazrat Zubair, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala in one group, and obviously Hazrat Aisha was already in Makkah Mukarrama, so some of the companions came. The intention was very clear. The intention was to launch an attack upon the Sabai sect. What was the intent? To fight the rebels, the Sabai sect, and not Hazrat Ali. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was already in a difficult situation. The difficulty of Hazrat Ali was that he had to make sure that nothing would happen in Medina Munawwara. Why? The people who were around him, many of them were sincere, but many of them were also from the Sabai sect. And so what could he do? And so he could only watch and see things from a distance. But some of the companions took it to themselves that, okay, fine, we understand the situation with Hazrat Ali, but Hazrat Talha, we have Hazrat Aisha, and what we will do, like what the rebels did, they went around and motivated other individuals, we will do the same thing. Now Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha decided that we should go to a different city and to speak to the other people there. Now the opinion was that perhaps we should go to Madinatul Munawwara. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, if we go to Medina Munawwara, the difficulty is that majority of the rebels were now in Medina Munawwara. And Sahaba Ikram Ajmain did not have a very massive group at that time to fight the rebels and the people of Medina. And some of them said, let's go to Syria. Now in Syria, there was no point going in Syria because already the Syrians were with Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Talha and Zubair, because we had Hazrat Amir Muawiyah there. And Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was from the family of Hazrat Uthman, so he had all the rights to demand the qisas from the judge who is in Medina Munawwara. And so Hazrat Amir Muawiyah was angry anyway. And so what was decided, that instead of going Medina or Syria, the best thing would be to go to Basra. And then from Basra we will go to Kufa. So a lot of the companions from Makkah Mukarrama, now when I say companions, what I mean are also people who were not Sahaba-i-Kiram Ajma'een, but Tabi'een, and they followed Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Talha and Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, and they went to Basra. When they got to Basra, Obviously, you had an appointed governor in Basra at that time whose name was Uthman bin Hunayf, who was the appointed governor by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So when Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha came, you'll find that a lot of the Rawafiz, the Shia movement that is there, they will say that how can Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha travel alone? But we need to understand that Hazrat Aisha did not travel alone. She was with her mahram, Abdullah ibn Zubair. Who was she with? And not only with Abdullah ibn Zubair, there were many people there that were her mahram. And Hazrat Aisha was always in hijab. And her intention was pure. Her intention was that perhaps of her presence, a lot of the people would unite. And if the people unite with Hazrat Aisha, then eventually they would all unite with Hazrat Ali and it would form one unity to fight the Sabai sect. This was the intention. As Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala went, and so the governor questioned Hazrat Aisha with a lot of respect that, O mother of the believers, what brings you here out of Medina in Basra? And so Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said to Uthman bin Hunayf that, O my son, let me tell you one thing, that a lady like Aisha has come out in this campaign for a valid reason, and I would only come out if my conscience is clear. And she said to him that Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an was murdered unlawfully. We have now rebels and thugs who have stolen the wealth of the Muslim Ummah, Islamic treasury, and have taken refuge in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the duty of the Muslims to wage jihad against the Sabai sect, against the rebels that are there. And we need to make sure quickly that the laws of qisas, had punishment, is implemented, and the murderers of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an are all quickly executed. And she read the verse of the Quran in front of Hazrat Uthman bin Hunayf radiallahu ta'ala an, and she said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and you see, she has so much knowledge that no one would even question her. And she said, Allah says, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ. Allah says in Surah An-Nisa that there is no good for people who whisper. Najwa means to whisper or to indulge in secret talks, to talk quietly so that nobody would hear. So Allah says there is no good in whispering in that manner unless you instruct someone for sadaqah, to give charity, or to show kindness, or reconciliation between the ummah. So what she was saying is that whatever we have whispered or why we are here is to reconcile with the ummah so that we become one again. Reconciliation was the intention. And she said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Anyone who does this for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will reward him a mighty reward. And so she read the verses of the Quran explaining to the governor that our intention is to motivate the people of Basra to stand up and rise against the Sabai sect. So you had now two groups of people. In a way, it wasn't two groups, it was one group. But unfortunately, with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he did not have enough power and he had to look after Medina, and that is why he stayed back in Madinatul Munawwara while Hazrat Talha and Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an met up in Makkah, and from Makkah they went to Basra, and from Basra they will go to Kufa. Inshallah ta'ala, we will continue in our next session of what happens when the two groups of the Muslim Ummah meet. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك. يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك وعظيم سلطانك. سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورزا نفسه وزينة عرشه ومداد كلماته. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سمعنا وطعنا. غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.